I want to share with you this morning one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It's from the New Testament, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4. I'm going to read several verses beginning at verse 17 and continuing through verse 24 if you want to follow along in the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter, as I read. This is a passage of Scripture that I have read from the pulpit many times, read many more times in private devotion, and one that speaks to me. It's one of those passages that I often go to, and I have preached from a number of times, and particularly at times when I feel the need to preach to myself. So if you will excuse me this morning, I'm talking to David as much as I'm talking to you. So if it sounds personal, it is, because this is one that scratches where I need to feel the touch of the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness, with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man." And don't make that sexist. That's the old person, the old you, "which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Are you allergic to anything? Do you have peace with yourself? And if you say, "Yes, I do," is that your old self or your new self? I'm not quite sure what you mean, David. Well, then let's listen to the Word of God. If I mention to you, and you note takers are not held responsible for spelling, because if I didn't have them here in front of me, I wouldn't have the spelling either. But if I mention to you rheumatoid arthritis, systemic lupus erythematosus, systemic scleroderma, rheumatic fever, Sjogren's syndrome, you recognize them among a group of diseases that are loosely called the collagen diseases, but according to more recent research are called the connective tissue diseases. And what scientists have found out about these diseases, and more I hear about folks who've been diagnosed with lupus, it's estimated that one out of every 10 Americans, whether he or she knows it or not, has some form of one of these diseases. And what the research shows is that the human body is producing antibodies, not like the body normally does, to invaders. You get the cold, you get the flu, you have a cut, you have an infection, you have a virus, you have a bacteria. The body begins to develop antibodies to fight those off. so that you get well. You get a cut and it begins to heal and it's red around it. That's those antibodies at work. Well, with these connective tissue diseases, what they have found out is that the body is producing antibodies not to foreign protein, but to protein within our own bodies. And that may sound a little complicated, but it simply means what they have found in association with these connective tissue diseases is that the person is allergic to himself or to herself. And that's why those diseases are so self-defeating and so difficult to overcome and so almost impossible to cure. Many years ago, if my memory is working right, we were living in Lugoff, South Carolina, around 1980. Little bend in the road. If you go down I-20 and get off at, I think it's Highway 601 at Camden and go down Highway 601 till you come to what used to be the DuPont main plant and turn left down Highway 5, you'll come to a little white church called El Bethel Faith Community Church. Bonnie and I served there for a little over a year. Little church that was decades old, that had been started by four families who moved into the community and set up home and set up church. And one time when they were without a pastor and we were without an appointment, they contacted us through the intercession of a friend of ours, and I flew down one February weekend. And I was amazed when I got off the airplane in Columbia, South Carolina, having left the snow in western Pennsylvania where we had been living, that I just was quite at home in a short-sleeved shirt. And I said, man, this is great. And met the folks, they invited us to come and be their pastor. And one day, one of the young men in the church, a young married man, walked into my office and said, David, I think I'm losing my mind. And I laughed and I said, Carol, what's going on? And he said, I'm struggling against all kinds of temptations. I know what the Bible says. I know what Scripture teaches. I know that's wrong. But I want to do it. And I'm constantly at war with myself. Yes, I do. No, I don't. Yes, I do. No, I don't. Back and forth this battle over these temptations. And he said, I'm not real sure I'm a Christian, but I'm pretty sure I'm losing my mind. And I smiled at him and I pointed him to this passage of Scripture, one that I know because I have felt many times like that young man did, like that young husband, young father did. Like the Apostle Paul evidently has. Because he gives us this passage that he's writing from prison and reminding them they're not like the Gentiles. They're to put off the old self and put on the new self. And it's not like taking this jacket off and laying it aside. It's not that kind of thing. It's a total change from the old to the new. And at first we may marvel like this young man, perhaps like you. You're a believer in Jesus Christ, and yet at one moment you say, I have peace with me, and the next minute I don't. Am I losing my mind? To which the Apostle Paul says, no, you're not. As a matter of fact, you are experiencing what every believer in Jesus Christ has experienced, is experiencing, and will experience, so long as you live on this earth. You're experiencing what it is to live with the old you and with the new you. The old you had doubts. The new you has faith. The old you is preoccupied with personal guilt. The new you is preoccupied with personal forgiveness. The old you with hate and resentment. The new you with love and acceptance. The old you serves Satan. The new you serves Christ. Well, you say, what about the new you? If you're a new person, well, then the new person has replaced the old person. That's right. But you mean to tell me the old person hangs around? That's right. And the old you continues to live in the same person as the new you. That's right. And that's the dilemma. And what they found in the case of certain of those connective tissue diseases, every believer in Jesus Christ has found in himself or herself, I am allergic to me. Do you understand that the new you in Jesus Christ is allergic to the old you in Satan? Now then, can you imagine why you feel like you're a battleground? Can you understand why that young man says, I'm driving me up the wall, not hassling with anyone else, just with me? Is it any wonder he thinks he's losing his mind? Billy Graham wrote well over 30 books. But the most popular one of all, continually in surveys, was one of the first ones he wrote, maybe the first one, back in the early 50s, called Peace with God. And the reason that was so popular and is so popular is because that's something that we want, peace with God. But does peace with God assure peace with self? No, it doesn't. And we have to be perfectly honest about that. The Apostle Paul spelled it out in his own life. In another place in his writings, Romans chapter 7, he said, the good that I wish to do, I do not do. And the evil that I don't want to do, that is exactly what I do. I find the principle that is in me is evil in me, the one who wishes to do good, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in my inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Now here's the competition. Understand that when you come to Christ, it's a change of God's, nothing less radical. A change of life, a change of your complete value system. It's not like putting on glasses or contacts. You're given totally new vision. You see things you've never seen before, and the world doesn't yet see. Let's say the old you is confident, and the new you lacks confidence. You say, man, that sounds exactly opposite what the Bible teaches. No, let's examine that confidence. The old you may have been confident in you. Not in you, excuse me. The old you may have been confident in you. The old you. The new you has confidence not in you, but in Christ. That's the new you. The old you constantly feels guilt. The new you constantly feels forgiveness. The old you, according to the Bible, is totally evil. The new you, according to the Bible, is totally righteous. And we're inclined to undersell the evil of our old lives and to undersell the righteousness of our new lives. That's why you find Christians with different emphases. One Christian only emphasizes the positive, the love of God. We're going to heaven. Over and above that are rewards. We're forgiven. Everything is great. And why don't you have peace with yourself? Then you'll find the Christian who only wants to emphasize the negative. Most of us are going to hell. We're guilty, every one of us, of everything you can imagine. The world's a mess. God's not a God of love. He's a God of wrath. There's a day of judgment. We're all going to appear before that judgment bar. And he doesn't feel real glad about the forgiveness of anyone. And you wonder why that is. And so often it's because that person is not real sure about his own or her own personal forgiveness. Isn't it something to be allergic to yourself? To have faith and to have the old doubts cropping up, to read what the Bible says and want to commit sin? You read it in Scripture and you say, well, the Bible says don't do this. The Bible says the habitual practice of this way leads to eternal destruction. And you say, well, I don't really understand what that means. I don't understand Greek. Maybe I ought to find somebody who understands Greek. It'd take too long to learn Greek. And you just say, well, I want to do it. I'm going to do it. And so the old you comes out in the foreground. And the battle between the old you and the battle between the new you is reflected in the change of gods. And you're the battleground. You're where the fight's going on. You're where the battle's taking place. And in those moments of indecision, in those moments when you say, and you totally amaze yourself by saying, how can I think that way? How could I justify that? The old you is competing with the new you. Jesus Christ is allergic to Satan, and Satan is allergic to Jesus. We see this taking place in our own denomination. For the last 40 years, we've been moving to the point of tearing ourselves apart. Because the Bible says one thing. And folks read it and say, I'm not sure that's what it means. Or, well, this is the 21st century. We need to have grace. And so we went to the expense in February of having a general conference. And we voted. The Bible means what it says and says what it means. And we're the majority voted. We're going to follow that. And we just had the annual conference. And for the first time ever in my short memory of association with Methodism, we had two slates of candidates. One traditional. The Bible means what it says, says what it means. One progressive. Well, maybe not. And we elected all the progressives. And we're going to meet again next year. And I'm afraid that this church year may be the last time we can really call ourselves United Methodists. But the change of gods is not easy. And when you're told that, it's a lie. And when you're told that, it's so horribly misleading that it caused this young man that I referred to a moment ago to doubt his own sanity and his own salvation. Paul didn't doubt his salvation, yet he says, I find myself not doing. I find in my mind it's settled. I agree with the Lord God Almighty. I find in my body it's unsettled. And so often I find myself acting differently than I think. And the Bible speaks of putting off the old man, the old person, and putting on the new. It's not speaking of change of clothes, a change of garments, but a whole change of life. And it's amazing to put on Christ. But it's happening every day. It's happened for you, for every obedient Christian. But sometimes I say yes when I should say no, and sometimes I say no when I should say yes. And when you do, do you undersell the forgiveness of Christ? Do you hang on to the defeated life as opposed to victorious life? Do you hang on to your past that held no future instead of your future that holds such promise?